Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together for a brief time this afternoon before I race away again. We're turning through to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and looking at verse 3. But before I read our passage, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. It's a challenging passage to deal with, and we ask that you would give us understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reading verse 3. I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Well, it's a passage that creates no small amount of issues, upset people, contention, call it what you want. It's fascinating that for 1800 years the church has really never had any problem with this passage whatsoever, and then all of a sudden in the 1880s when feminism came about, all of a sudden this passage started to upset people a whole lot. And it's a real shame, because it's a beautiful verse. It's a beautiful verse, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a man, because my wife would say the exact same thing. It's a beautiful verse because it celebrates what God has created and what God has called good. The reality of authority structures in the world. And we know it's authority structures because Paul says God is the head of Christ. We know we're not talking about eternal relationship realities. What I mean by that is God, the first person of the Trinity, is not the authority over the second person of the Trinity. And the second person of the Trinity is not submissive to the Father for all eternity. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about Christ. Notice that Paul doesn't say the Father is the head of the Son of God. But he says Christ. And I think he very intentionally uses that word Christ to show that he's talking about Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, and not Jesus in eternity past, or not the Son of God in eternity past. We're dealing with the authority structures from God to Christ, the incarnate Savior, to man to woman. So what is headship all about? How do we understand this? And why is it important? Well, it's important for us here in 1 Corinthians 11 because all of Paul's argument is built upon the foundation of headship and authority. That's what this is all about. Like I said yesterday, there were In Corinth, there is an issue in the way men and women are conducting themselves in worship. The way they're coming, the way they're acting, the way they're doing things are going against what is right and proper in biblical ordered worship. And so Paul now addresses them and he lays this foundation. He says, I want you to understand, before we unpack the issue, I want you to understand something. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the husband or man, depending how you translate it. And man is the head of the wife or woman, depending how you translate it. It doesn't make a great deal of difference if you go with woman or wife or man or husband. Either way, same implication plays out. I want you to understand this headship relationship. Now, what is headship? How do we understand headship? What is it? Is headship the right word? Should it be called source, as some have suggested? Well, to understand what head means, we need to turn to the rest of Scripture. So Christ is called the head of the church. Christ is called the head of all powers and authorities. David calls himself a head when he thinks about the nation of Israel. Jephthah is called the head when he is made a ruler over the people of his time. So time and time again, this word head, this kephale, is used in one particular way. And that is to denote human authority. So, or authority in whatever structure it's in. BDAG, the leading dictionary of Greek or lexicon, uses the following statement. In relation to living beings, denotes superior rank. Denotes superior rank. So the word head, which gets used throughout this passage, means either denoting superior rank, God to Christ as the submissive earthly savior, Christ to man to wife, superior rank, not superior quality, superior rank, or it means a physical head, as we'll see later in this passage as well. So what does it mean? What does headship actually mean for us in our marital relationships? Well, firstly, headship means greater authority. God has established the husband as the head, as the leader, as the ruler, for lack of a better word, within his own home, which means he has authority. It can't really be denied. I know egalitarians love to deny it, but biblically speaking, the husband is the head and ruler of his home. He is over his wife. He is over his children. Now, if you think about that from a kingly perspective, the king is over all of his subjects. But that doesn't mean he does everything. That doesn't mean he takes instantaneous action upon everything. He doesn't carefully look through every single action of every single one of his subjects, does he? No, he lets people do what they're gifted to do. He's a minister of education and a minister of finance and whatever the other ministers kings might have, if they have ministers. He has servants, he has workers, he has all sorts of different people that are functioning underneath his authority. And he uses his authority through them. Okay? So firstly, it means greater authority. That's what the word head means, superior rank. Secondly, it means greater responsibility. The king is responsible for a whole lot of people, right? He's responsible to care for them. He's responsible to protect them. He's responsible to provide for them. He's got a whole bunch of responsibility before both the citizens and before God who put him there. And so too for the husband. He isn't just an authority like a dictator, but that authority comes with responsibility. There are a bunch of things he has to do. He is to lay down his life in defense of his bride, in defense of his family, in defense of his home. He's to protect them. He's to provide for them. He's to care for them. He's to ensure that they flourish. He's to ensure that they're safe. There are all these responsibilities that come with headship. And then lastly, there's, because of these two things, because there's greater authority, because there's greater responsibility, there's also greater accountability. He is accountable, just like the king. Yes, the king is the authority. Yes, he's the sovereign authority over his nation with a bunch of responsibility. But that responsibility and authority doesn't come without accountability. He must answer to God for how he reigns his people. Because at the end of the day, they're God's people. And so too for the husband. Yes, he has greater authority. Yes, he has greater responsibility. But with both of those things come greater responsibility, sorry, accountability. That's the word I'm looking for. He must give an account one day. I heard it illustrated like this. Let's pretend for a moment that my wife and one of my children is having an argument. They're having an argument. There's been a disagreement and neither of them are conducting themselves well. My child's losing the plot and my wife's trying to deal with it. And I'm sitting on the couch reading a book, which I'd love to do. I'm sitting on my couch reading a book and I'm ignoring them. I'm doing nothing about it. And then there's a knock at the door and I ignore the knock at the door because I can't be bothered dealing with it. And so my wife traipses from the argument and goes all the way to the door and she answers the door. And illustration's sake, Jesus is at the door. And Jesus says to my wife, "Hey, I hear you're having some trouble with Johnny, your son." And my wife says, "Well, yes." And then she goes to start explaining. Jesus would say, "Wait a second, I've actually come to speak to Logan because he's the one who's responsible. He's the one who's in authority position. And at the end of the day, he's the one that's accountable for it. And so Josella comes and gets me and brings me over and Jesus says to me, what's going on? And I'm the one who's accountable because I'm the one who's in the position of authority. Now, you may not like that. I get it. You may be a man who's watching this and think to yourself, I don't want to be in charge. I don't want to be extra responsible. I don't want to have extra accountability. It's hard enough to live for myself, let alone for a family. You don't get a choice. God has made you the head of the woman, the head of the wife. You don't have a choice whether you are faithful. Well, you do have a choice if you're faithful or not, but you will be accountable. If you sit back and do nothing and your wife does everything, you are accountable for that. If you sit back and do nothing and your children fall apart, You are accountable to God for that. Maybe you're watching this and you're a lady. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't like the idea of having an authority over me. I don't like the idea of having someone else that's responsible for me. I don't like the idea of someone else being accountable on my behalf. I am my own woman. Do you know better than God? You see, that's the ultimate question for us as men and women, isn't it? Who knows best, God or us? Now, there's a whole bunch of implications, and we could go a whole bunch of different directions with this. But at the end of the day, the foundational question for each and every one of us is, are we going to let God describe how human relationships in marriage function? Are we going to follow a created order, or are we going to seek to make our own order? Because that's what the society's done. Since 1880, when feminism started, we have sought to overthrow the biblical standards for how homes function, for how all of life functions. And where has it gotten us? Well, look around you today and you see exactly where it's gotten us. The choice is yours. Embrace God's biblical authority structures or define your own and see how far it gets you. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will embrace biblical headship. The choice is yours. Let's pray. Father in heaven, these are challenging things in our society, and they're offensive in our society. And so we pray that you would help us to understand rightly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks very much for joining me again. I'll see you back here tomorrow.